Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. It's a Thursday evening for us. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank the sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie. Oh, I lost it. Where did it go? I had a good one too, Robbie. Where did it go?
Oh, come on.
Oh, here it is. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Corinth. But not the Corinth north of Tupelo, the one in Perry County.
There's another Corinth?
Yes.
What are we doing? What is this state doing? We have like four or five of the same
9 miles south of Hattiesburg.
I don't know what's happening here. So you have one in like extreme north Mississippi, and then you have one in kind of
almost,
extreme
south. Almost to the coast, yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And if you don't want to cook out, you don't have to cook out. Go grab you a steak at one of our awesome steakhouses. We have everywhere in this great state, from the Corinth up north to the Corinth down south. And all points in between, you can find a fantastic steak anywhere in the state of Mississippi. It's not the Magnolia State, it's the Magnolia Steak. That's what we're talking about. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. You are looking for it. You need new gear, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. You can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Father's Day is a month away. It is a month from this day. Don't leave Dad hanging. Get him a great gift at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Hey, those great steaks I was just telling you about, you can go get you one at Restaurant Tyler. No questions asked. One of the best steaks in North Mississippi. If you haven't had that steak, you need to go try it out. But, of course, dinner at Restaurant Tyler is full of great options. And they've always got great specials as well. I know we've talked about steak, but Robbie will tell you, my favorite thing on that menu is that pork chop, man. That is a work of art. One of the best meals that you'll have. If you go get that, you will leave happy. You'll leave happy no matter what you order, though, when you go eat at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only where you can find them, but how they're going to help you invest and manage your money and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, you need them on your schedule, you get it at Priority One Bank. They provide a level of service you can't get anywhere else. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Hate to jump right into another ad, but we have to do it because the sign was pretty obvious early in this one for Mississippi State against Missouri that it was going to be a long night for the Tigers. And the sign, of course, was brought to you by our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. Your business needs to get the message out. Pip Printing and Signs can help you do that. They've been doing it for 30-plus years here in this state. Businesses just like yours, when you work anywhere, no matter what your product is, no matter what service you offer, if you don't have printing, if you don't have somebody who can help get your message to your customers, you're lost, and you got to have that top-notch printing department behind you. You can have that with Pip Printing and Signs. Give our friend Cam Baker a call today at 601-499-5216. Tell me you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. You want to do business with a Mississippi State business that's going to keep people coming in to see you and drive repeat customers. That's what Pip Printing and Signs does for you. When you need printing, call Pip today. Three runs in the first, one run in the second, and then off we go. Robbie Falk and I thought we might have a chance to record a little early when it was 12-1 there in the sixth. State decided they didn't want to do that. They wanted to make it last a little longer. And 25 runs on 23 hits Hunter Hines with two home runs in the same inning. Hold on. I got to know. That's a feat that doesn't happen very often. Two home runs in one inning. How many times has it happened? That's not helping me out.
It's probably happened at State before, but I can't recall.
It has happened in Major League Baseball 45 times. In the history of the game, 45
and
times.
You know, that's 162 games for each team every year.
Every year.
Plus and 32 teams. How many teams is there?
Yeah. I mean, again, you got to go back through that. I mean, we're talking about 130-plus years. No, like 150-plus years of baseball. Brent Rooker has done it. So a former Diamond Dog has done it. But he did it pros.
In the MLB?
Yeah.
Or at State?
May 4th, 2024, against the Athletics, he hit two in one inning in the third.
Wow. Well, this
pretty cool.
Game will make your head hurt. I don't really know where to start on this. I mean, it was obviously a locked-in Mississippi State offense. Missouri is god-awful. This is one of the worst SEC teams I've ever seen.
We must investigate Texas A&M. They had money on that series. Come on, man.
That was just a straight-up laying down. I mean, they had 11 – they had 11 hits or 11 runs the whole series.
11 runs.
They had 11 runs the whole series. I think they had less than 20
Wait.
Hits.
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
So, in this game, I mean, this pitching staff is atrocious. They threw 234 pitches in this game. And they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
hold on. Hold on. Say that again.
They threw 234 pitches in this game.
I'm about to do another Google search. You please continue.
137 of those were strikes, so they nearly had 100 pitches that were balls. And somehow only walked five guys.
You're not going to believe this one. You ready?
What?
The record for the most pitches. Oh, that's just by one person. That can't be right. Continue. Oh, it is. Nolan Ryan did that. He threw 235 pitches in a game by himself.
Well, he probably did that a couple of times. Yeah. So Kellen Brink, or however you say the guy's name, we knew coming in that this guy's numbers were just god awful, and he kind of lived up to the reputation. He gives up seven hits, seven runs, and he struck out four guys. State, I thought, saw him pretty well early on in the ball game. And, you know, their defense was not very good either. But I thought just from the beginning, State's offense was locked in. That they were ultra aggressive in this game for the most part because they struck out 14 times. But you look at it, and these numbers are just mind-boggling. You have three guys with three hits. You have another four guys with two hits, and you had three guys with two home runs. Reed Stallman came off the bench and hit two home runs. Ace Reese hit two homers, and Hunter Hines hit two in one inning. And, of course, ties Rafael Palmeiro's record for home runs hit in a career now with 67, which, regardless of what you think of Hunter Hines, that is a special accomplishment.
Yeah,
that he's been able to do this. Rafi and Will Clark, they played in less games. They only played 3 years. I get that. And they were on more decorated teams. But Hunter Hines has earned his spot in that grouping from as far as home run hitting. Now, he's not the hitter that those guys are, but a pretty special run that he's been on in his career now to get to 67. And hopefully, you know, maybe he'll break that record too. But
you gotta
this
think
was
he
just
will.
This was just insane. I mean, the game, you get up 12-0. You feel like you're about to run rule them. You bring in Stone Simmons. He can't get the job done. Kevin Minnell was worse. And in an inning and two-thirds, you go from we're about to get a run rule here to, oh, my gosh, you're about to have to use your best bullpen pitchers to win this game.
Yeah.
And luckily, the offense was just like, nah, we're not going to do this tonight. Which they've done that a couple of times. They've just kind of carried the team here during the stretch. That you've had some really good starts from, Carson Liggins had a couple of good starts. We saw a great start from Evan Sieri last week, but the bullpen has just not been good for you outside of the Kentucky series. And Nate Williams does a good job coming in, just pounding the strike zone.
Yeah.
But
What
the other
do we
two,
always say, Robbie, when State has these big leads? And I know
throw a
Charlie
strike zone.
Bart, they get mad, but just throw strikes. Just throw the ball over the plate. Nobody's going to hit a 16-run home run on you.
And I get it's like easier said than done, and sometimes it's just you're not getting the calls or whatever. But I mean, they walked five more guys in this game. Pico, I thought was
He's
okay,
okay.
but
He's okay.
four walks. He only gave up two hits, and he did not allow any runs. But you only get four and a third from him.
Yeah.
I mean, this would have been a great time to get six innings out of him, try to get you that run rule. You don't really use anybody, and you only get four and a third. It feels like he desperately needs a week off, right? Like
Yeah.
he really,
It's
they really
probably,
need to just not pitch him in the tournament. But
well, he'll probably get, I mean, he won't pitch until Friday of the SEC tournament, right? I mean, I don't know if State's going to make it to Friday.
and here's the thing,
And it doesn't
people
matter
have
if they make
said
it.
he doesn't need to pitch no matter what. If he gets to Friday, I promise you, as a Mississippi State fan, you're going to say, "Please pitch Pico
Yeah, because
Conley."
at that point you want to win the tournament. Yeah.
If you're in position to go win a championship, you go get a championship.
Yeah, if State, because State's likely going to play on Tuesday. If you're telling me they win Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, yeah, at that point you should probably go for it.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically gonna have to find. I mean, I assume Jacob Pruitt's gonna pitch game. Noah Sullivan,
Yeah, maybe
maybe
McPherson could start
Ryan
a game.
Pearson.
Yeah.
And then if you can get through those three somehow, then you get into your weekend rotation. And
Yeah.
you probably need to pitch those guys anyway just to get them a day of work. But
Agreed.
at that point, Pico is coming off. He's full rested. He actually
Yeah.
gets a day back. So whatever. But it does feel like he needs a little bit of a break just to kind of re-energize, because it does seem a little bit on fumes here.
The thing to remember in all this is yes, obviously a ridiculous win for State tonight, but the job is not done. State needs one more game minimum in this series. Obviously, sweeping it would be, I got to be honest, and I, maybe it'll come back to bite me, Robbie. And if it does, it does. But coming into this series, I was like, well, maybe Missouri's got a little juice right this second. And then you watch this game tonight, and you're just like, okay, I don't know what happened last weekend, but that's not getting repeated, obviously. And I feel pretty confident State's going to get the next two. They just have to get one more, and you can call it a day. Their RPI did drop a spot tonight as a result of this win. They beat this terrible team by 18 runs, and the RPI is like, eh.
I think if they sweep, they might get like around where they were, but
They'll probably stay put, yeah.
there's nothing good going to come from this weekend other than the fact that if you can get three wins, you get them. And your RPI is manageable. But yeah, I mean, the big key the next 2 days is pitching. I mean, I think the offense is going to hit this pitching because it's just god awful, and they're not throwing two of their more talented guys, it appears, this weekend. So these next 2 days, I think the key for Mississippi State is kind of keeping their offense at bay, because that is one thing that they have done fairly well. Here lately is they've scored, and they were scoring the night. They scored 7 runs, so it's not going to be an easy game for Mississippi State the next 2 days. And this kind of reminds me of a couple years ago when State went to Missouri and they just destroyed Missouri in game one, and came back the next 2 days and lost. And I have no reason to believe that's going to happen again, but you can't just take this game and think it's going to translate to the next two. State
Right.
lost the first game against Ole Miss 10-4 last week, and it really didn't even feel that close, and came back and won the next two games. The first game, it's only good for you because it gets you one step closer to winning a
Right.
series, but it doesn't do anything in
Well,
guaranteeing you anything the next 2 days.
State Missouri 2021, State wins that Friday night game and then they lose the next two. I mean, Missouri has had
They had
State's
to
number.
walk. I think they had to walk off that game to
Yeah, I believe you're
win
correct.
it.
So there you go. You want a
But
it's not a prediction, Robbie. I'm gonna make a spoiler. Are you ready?
Sure.
I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to go ahead and for the weekend of, let me see what that is. For the weekend of the 30th, the first week, the regional weekend, just go ahead and book a room in Hattiesburg.
I was just thinking that earlier. I
They
hope
won
that's not the
tonight.
case.
They won tonight. RPI up to 24. So my guess is if they continue to win, they take this series, they're going to get into the teens. If they stay hot and get maybe I don't know if they need to beat Coastal or not. I feel the Hattiesburg Regional coming on, and there is no way on earth there, Mississippi State won't go down there. Maybe Ole Miss goes down there as the two. I don't know. Ole Miss getting a win tonight probably helps their cause to avoid that, but
They just went there 2 years ago for, or
the Super
3 years
Regional.
ago for the
It was a
Super
Super
Bowl.
Regional, though.
Yeah, I just like,
If State or Ole Miss is going, if there's a Hattiesburg Regional, State or Ole Miss will be there.
I like Hattiesburg. I love Hattiesburg. I would like to go somewhere else, but
Feel it.
I feel like that's probably going to happen too. I've been feeling that as well. I think it's either going to be Hattiesburg or Tallahassee, it feels like.
See LSU lost
They did
to
on a
South
wild pitch.
Carolina. Oh, I didn't know that. I just knew they lost.
A walk-off wild pitch.
Mary, a walk-off wild pitch. Hilarious.
I saw a
Hilarious.
walk-off walk on Wednesday night, the high school game I was covering.
Oh, okay.
Walk-off walk.
Yeesh. So, all right. So, Bulldogs now on the season, 32-20. They've won 7 of 8 since the coaching change, and they'll look to wrap up the series tomorrow, 6 o'clock first pitch. Evan Cieri on the mound for the Bulldogs. Don't know if you saw this. Our buddy Steve Robertson reported this though that Missouri going TBD these next two games. They're saving their top arms for the tournament.
Sure. Why not?
I mean, I get it because their only way to win go to the NCAAs is to win the SEC tournament, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, why not pitch your best guys Tuesday, Wednesday, and like you mentioned, we talked about Sam Horn. They're not pitching him this weekend.
Sam Horn is probably their most talented guy.
And then the other guy, I forget what his name is. He's their usual fry our usual
Will
starter though.
Libert. He's
Yeah, he's not
he's
pitching this
another
week.
freshman lefty.
Yeah.
So they got two freshman lefties they've been bookending with Kellen Brink and Libert. And Libert's probably been their best guy, like numbers wise, but Sam Horn is their most talented pitcher. And hasn't pitched beyond, I think, 3 1/3. I would expected them to stretch him a little bit this week, but he hasn't thrown a lot of pitches since coming back from Tommy John. So he probably would have been a little limited this week anyway. But yeah, I mean, this weekend doesn't mean anything for them. They could go 3 and what would it be,
27.
27?
Yeah.
They could go 3 and 27. The only way they're getting in the tournament is if they win the SEC tournament.
Exactly. They could win these three games. They could have, you know, if they had
It
swept
wouldn't mean
Mississippi
anything.
State, it wouldn't have meant anything. They still have to win the SEC tournament. So
Yeah.
we'll see how it all pans out. Before we switch gears here, Robbie, you had an update on the coaching search. I'm less interested in the names because the names at this point are kind of the same. It's still Wes Johnson and Brian O'Connor at the top. Butch Thompson is still in the mix. Mark Wazikowski has been mentioned at this point. I feel like my conversation with Aaron Fitt, he felt he was, if you listen to that interview, and I don't know if you have or not, I don't know if pushing is the right word, but he felt very confident that if offered, Mark Wazikowski would be the next coach at Mississippi State. So that's why I thought it made sense to put him on the hot board right throughout this morning from Super Talk. What I wanted to ask you about though is, you know, the sources you've talked to, you get the impression, A, I'm not putting an assistant back on a hot board at this point. I feel like it is a done deal that State's going to get a head coach. But the commitment to Mississippi State has always been a program that's been committed to baseball anyway, but it feels like that's really going to be the case now. In this hiring cycle, that State is really going to start putting forth a lot of resources into baseball, maybe more than they ever have before.
Yeah, it feels that way. I think Zach Selman, he realizes kind of what they have here. And, you know, for Zach Selman, I think it's a situation that's like, well, everybody's talking about this this is a blue blood sport at Mississippi State, and we're elite and all this stuff. People have said that. We have the resources, we have the fans, we have the stadium. We need to act like we need to go hire someone that says that. And so that's kind of the challenge with this search now is, can you go out there and get a guy that you haven't been able to hire before? Because Mississippi State has not hired a guy like that before. We had that discussion on the emergency pod that we put up right after Chris Lemonis was fired, and I said on that podcast, you can go back, it's not realistic for Mississippi State to hire someone that you would consider elite, because it's, for one, it's been tough to pull those kind of guys. But secondly, Mississippi State's never done it. So why would we believe that they could now? Well, I believe that this staff is going to do what they can do to go try to get a guy like that. And whether it's Brian O'Connor or, you know, I don't know if you can consider Wes Johnson an elite guy yet, but I think you can say that he is a very, very good head coach at a place that he can win. And if you pull that's a power move by Mississippi State if you were able to pull him. So I wouldn't put him in the same category as Brian O'Connor as far as accomplishments, but I think they're equally great hires that Mississippi State can make as far
I
as
feel like
like,
the statement is as big.
yes. Because Wes Johnson is at a place that if they want to, Georgia could pour in the resources into baseball. They have the revenue. They could get some people to pour in some resources, build a nice stadium. Maybe not top five or anything like that, but they could be a very competitive program from a resources standpoint. And of course, where they are from a recruiting standpoint, in the state of Georgia is, you know, per capita is a very strong baseball state. So, you know, pulling somebody like that, which again, I'm skeptical of Wes Johnson becoming Mississippi State's next head coach, but he has been a name of interest, and I don't believe that Mississippi State is afraid to go after him.
And he hasn't ever dropped off the list. Like ever since he popped onto the list, he's remained. There hasn't been a moment where we start hearing, it's probably not going to be Wes Johnson. Every time we look into it, it's like, yeah, he's still a candidate.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about Brian O'Connor. If I'm Zach Selman, and first and foremost, we were talking about the resources of Mississippi State, I think that this administration, it might not be something that this fan base would be excited about, but I think that you should start putting more of a premium on baseball, on the fans, on the seats they're sitting in, and the left field lounge, to try to make a profit out of this thing. The
I think that's
demand is
probably going
extremely
to happen, to
high.
be
You're
honest.
still packing that place out. You have a long list of people waiting to get in line to buy tickets. And there are people that are calling, they're calling other season ticket holders, they're calling Mississippi State and saying, I have a blank check. What will it take to get season tickets? So if I think they're going up on some rigs, I would keep going up. Like again, I know that's gonna tick some people off, but if you're going to make this sport profitable, that's the only way to do it.
Well, let me ask you this. Could Mississippi State look at baseball the way South Carolina kind of looks at women's basketball and just say, look, we're not going to make any money on this, but we're the best damn school in the country at it. And
Yeah, you can do
we can
that.
take pride in it and win national championships in it.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's the issue is like if you're doing that, if you're pumping all those resources into it, you really need to try to get some kind of return on investment financially for that, because then you start pulling away from your revenue sports that need to be competitive too. And I think there's a world where Mississippi State can be really competitive in all three of those sports. And I think there's a world where Mississippi State can make money in baseball, because I think when the stadium eventually gets paid off, which should be fairly soon, that takes away, you know, a couple million dollars a year, I think, that they're paying on that loan. So it will become there's a chance it can be more profitable, because they have made money before in baseball. Not much, but they have made money in it. And when you have it's simple economics, it's supply and demand, and like they're losing millions of dollars on the outfield not spending money on food.
Yeah.
Like letting people come in with food, which is a great tradition. That's losing a lot of money for them.
Does lose money, yeah. No, no question. But you're okay with that because it creates the atmosphere.
Yes.
That is Duty Noble Field.
And the payoff is what you get in the atmosphere, what you get for the city of Starkville in revenue in the spring, which is in most places in the spring, you're not getting that kind of revenue for your town.
Kroger and the neighborhood Walmart are making plenty of money. Don't worry about them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're doing fine. But I'm just saying, like, I think if you're going to do this, if you're going to go all in and try to get the best coach available, there might come a time where it becomes a lot more difficult to get a ticket to these games, or the prices start rising up. And that's just simple supply and demand, like I said.
Yeah, no question.
And that's why I think, like, there's a compromise there for Zach Selman. When we've talked to him before, and he candidly had a conversation with us where he said, look, I realize baseball's big here, but we have got to get football and basketball rolling.
Right.
Those are what keeps the lights on. We got to get that rolling. But I also believe that Zach Selman knows that his legacy at Mississippi State is going to be tied to baseball and football. And in most places, that's not the case. Baseball doesn't really factor in. But here, the fans will judge him on what he does with baseball hire. And he understands how important it is as his fan base. And he knows going into this hire, this is really big for my legacy. I think that he needs to go out there for him to stamp a big resume win for him. He needs to go out there and convince somebody that has a track record, that has coached major college baseball, won a lot of games, been to the College World Series, even won national titles. He needs to convince that person to come here and put Mississippi State where it hasn't really been, and that's consistently competing for national championships. You know, they've done everything. They've been to the College World Series in six different decades. They've done it with five, six different coaches, whatever it is now. They've finally got the monkey off their back and won the national title. But can they get to where, like, an LSU is, where they're consistently doing it? That's the next step for Mississippi State. And getting the right guy in here, I think, is what's the most important thing for Zach Selman over the next couple of weeks.
We shall see. You said it was simple economics. Is it also basic thugonomics?
Sure.
Okay. So making sure.
I think that would be, I think there would be some thuggery involved if Zach Selman goes out there and finds an elite head coach.
Just takes him away. I like that.
That is a gangster move.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. And the older brother, two restaurants Robbie Falk and I have been known to frequent. And you should as well. If you haven't been to two, I know you've been to Two Brothers. We're not going to play that game. But if you haven't been to the older brother, you are missing
haven't,
out.
Then what planet have you been living on for the last 10 years?
I'll just tell you right now. Look at me. Look me in the eye. If you have not been to Two Brothers, you're not a State fan. Yeah, I'm telling you. There's no way. It's not possible. So go there immediately if you have not already. But be that being said, the older brother, Starkville's best new restaurant, is the place for a fancy sandwich. And I may have to make a trip there very, very soon. I hope to see you there. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the older brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They'll deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for twice the number of runs that Mississippi State scored tonight years.
Twice the number of runs that Mississippi State scored tonight years.
Which brother. Is? Which is?
50.
Nah. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. That way, you're going to build a relationship with the same people who are going to talk to you after the sale. It's not one of these things where you buy the product and then, okay, by the way, if you have any issues, here's our service department's number. No. No, it's the same guy. It's the guy you already know, and he'll get it taken care of. Usually the same day. Why? Because he's in Mississippi just like you. No waiting around with Advantage Business Systems. Can you imagine if your printer broke and they tell you, oh, it'll be a week before we can get there? What are you supposed to do? Don't live like that. Call Advantage Business Systems, 601 562-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. I don't think you can get a vintage 2007 Liberty Bowl t-shirt like Robbie Faulk is wearing right now at Maroon & Co.
I even wore the banner. I even have the banner on my shirt.
That might be the only thing you can't get at Maroon & Co. And so I encourage you, if you're in the market for Mississippi State gear, you need to go to Maroon & Co. If you're in Starkville, nobody has a bigger and better selection than Maroon & Co. And best of all, we'll save you a little money when you go. Thunder15 is the promo code. Apparently, it works on Yeti suitcases. Learned that yesterday. So you can save 15% off on that or on anything else.
Yeti suitcase?
I didn't, but our friend Shane Reed did.
I had no idea there was a Yeti suitcase.
Keeps
I thought
everything.
Those were just like cups.
Well, I knew they make coolers. I didn't know they make suitcases, though. But
I mean, whatever. That makes sense. A cooler and a suitcase are kind of similar in what they do. And
yeah, I guess. Yeah. Check it out. Thunder15's the code online at maroonandco.com or in the store. Next time you're in Starkville, when you need MSU gear, head over to Maroon & Co. The weekend is here. That means a lot of you guys are going to be out in the yard, working in the garden, mowing the grass, maybe cooking out, maybe doing some projects around your house. No matter what you've got to do, you need to head to Scruggs Farm and Lawn and Garden to get the job done right. It is the John Deere Drive Green Spring Sales Event at Scruggs right now. 0% financing up to 48 months on Gators and commercial mowers. 0% financing up to 72 months on compact tractors. You don't want to miss out on that. If you want to have the best tools to get your yard looking the way you want it to look, nothing runs like a Deere. Offer valid through June 2nd, so time is running out. See your dealer for details. Visit Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, or you can shop online at scruggsfarms.com. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, they have what you want for less. All right, earlier this week, I talked to former Diamond Dog Cole Gordon. Wanted to get his thoughts on basically what it's like to play for an interim. What is that like for a team to have to go through a coaching search mid-season? What is it like, you know, for the players and, you know, things of that nature? I thought it was a really good conversation. I hope you'll enjoy it. We'll go now to my talk with former Diamond Dog Cole Gordon. Former Diamond Dog Cole Gordon, good enough to join us here today. And Cole, really appreciate some of your time and coming on the podcast. I wanted to talk to you about playing for an interim coach and what that means. Now, obviously, a whole different set of circumstances for you versus what this team is going through. Your coach was changed after the first weekend of the season. By the time we got to this point in the year, the last weekend, you know, you'd been with him this whole time. But just take us through, like, what are the first couple of days like as a player when a coaching change happens mid-season?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that at least what happened for us was there's just a lot of questions now, right? Like, what does our day-to-day look like? What kind of things should we expect from the coach taking over? But I think the biggest thing you'll see, and I think you've seen it how they've played here recently, has been there's just, especially for them, there's probably a relief of stress, right? Like when you're with a coach for so long, you know their job relies on how you play and how, you know, the successes of the team. And when you get the head coach loses their job, that pressure kind of leaves, right? Because the expectations theoretically go to zero. Now, obviously, it depends on your locker room. With our locker room, that was not our expectations. Our expectations were to win and to have success, but the stress of knowing someone else's, you know, livelihood relies on that is kind of gone. Like you said, ours was very different. It was first weekend, you know, no one really saw it coming as far as reasons, right? There was no public perception of pressure. I think Lamonis has had a little more pressure on his. Ours was kind of sudden. And so at that point, you know, it just becomes, okay, like, you know, the head coach obviously has a good hand in what goes on, but it really comes back into the locker room of what are we going to be about? You know what I mean? Like, are we going to be remembered for this firing? Like, all they're going to remember from 2018 is a coach got fired, right? And that's not why we came to Mississippi State. And although, you know, I love Lamonis and I thought Canizero was had his perks and had his, you know, good for a little bit. That's not why we came to Mississippi State, at least not, you know, for us. It was more about, you know, I came to Mississippi State because it was a program that had a chance to win a national championship, right? Or we were going to compete for that every year. So that didn't change for us when we lost the coach. Like the reason why we came didn't change based off that situation.
What changed in the way Coach Henderson coached pitching once he became the head coach? Because Justin Parker is kind of going through the same thing. Did his routine with you guys change any?
No, and I think that's why it works so well. And if you know Coach Henderson at all, you know he's, you know, he doesn't change on many things. He sticks to his guns, which is why I think he was so great for us. But I think what worked so well with us in that year was that each coach kind of stayed in what they were doing, right? Mm-hmm. Henderson stayed with pitching, Gautreaux and Coach Brown stayed with the hitters. But there was a cohesion and they worked together more so, as opposed to, you know, feeling like you're competing against each other for time or for say so, whatever. I think they did a really good job that year of working together, staying with who they were. Coach Henderson stayed with the pitchers, and like I said, they threw there. And so I think that allowed us to really operate, and it gave us, you know, a sense of coming together even more so, because, you know, we are a unit. Like, we need to be good for them to be good. They need us to be good. And so I think it allowed us to really grow together, become a little more cohesive. I don't know how they're doing it now, but I think it looks the same. I think, you know, from what I see, Parker is really staying with the pitchers and, you know, still coaching them and doing what's right with them. And I just think it's hard on those coaches too. I think we lose sight of that. They are people. They go through the same kind of struggles and, you know, security and that kind of things. But they keep it together for the sake of those kids. And I don't think that should go unrecognized.
So this team that we're looking at right now, obviously a late change, but they've played really good baseball these past couple of weekends. Your team in 2018, you know, that first month, month and a half was a struggle. It's the series against Ole Miss here in Starkville where things kind of changed for you guys. From inside the locker room, could you feel that change before the series? Did you feel like things were starting to come together? Or when you went out there and played the Rebels that weekend, was it kind of, okay, we weren't, you know, we played better than we thought, and now we need to keep doing that?
Well, you know, I think we always believed in who we were as a team. But I think I'd be lying to you if I told you when Ole Miss was in town, it didn't bring another level of awareness for us in the locker room. Our group really hated Ole Miss. I think, you know, I think you can still see it. Yeah, exactly. Look, I'm telling you, there's very few times and you'll find Jake being quiet, but a game before Ole Miss, he got real quiet. He couldn't stand them. But, you know, I think we knew that, but I think at that point it really showed us, you know, what we were capable of, right? Like we knew the level of intensity that was going to be in that series. And I just think it's a good series to find out who you are as a team. And I think this team has kind of done the same thing, right? Ole Miss came in as a ranked team, good team. But we're talented. I mean, to think that this team they have now is not talented would be idiotic. I mean, they're very talented. You can see it riddled across the entirety of the team. But now there's a sense of, you know, you feel like a release, playing free. And I think that's kind of where we were in the same boat. It was, hey, what do we have to lose? Like, we know we can play. We know we're good. Let's just go out there and do it. Like, we're here, right? Like, all this talk that's going on outside of the program is one thing. But we know who we are in this locker room. And now we just get a chance to go show it freely, right? We get to show the competitors we are and you know, how much Mississippi State means outside of just the people who are in there right now.
One big difference between the 18 team and this team is this final weekend for them, they're playing the worst team in the conference. Now, I know Missouri swept last weekend, but they're 3-24. State just wins the series this weekend. They're in good shape. You guys are playing the number one team in the nation. You're and you basically had to sweep, I think, maybe even to make it to Hoover, but certainly to make it to the NCAA tournament. Take us back to that weekend and how much enjoyment you had to take from getting that sweep.
Yeah, and, you know, I grew up in Florida, so I didn't really much like them either. And so that made it even
more.
Who do
you like, Cole? Jeez,
you know, not many people we played against. There's not many people we played against. I love everybody here.
Yeah.
No, that was – you know, and that's the same thing. You get in the locker room and it's just, you got to decide, like, what are you going to be about? Like, are you going to lay down and let this, you know, just be a victim of your circumstance? Or are you going to really try to step up on the gas and step up to show who you are? And I think as a whole, that's what you saw from that whole team. Mm-hmm. People stepped up that, you know, haven't had that much success. People that had success continued it. And so I think, and that's what you see now, this team that's playing currently is, you know, some games we were in almost all those games that we lost earlier this year. And I think some of those games are lost in that tension and in that locker room. And I think you're starting to see that locker room kind of come more into who they are now, who they truly could be. And that's what we had. We had good leaders on that team who weren't willing to let the team quit, right? Outside of the head coach leaving and stuff like that, I think you have to have good leaders in the locker room. And I think we had a lot of that, of guys who weren't willing to just throw it in because we lost the coach, or throw it in because we weren't supposed to be good, right? Like we were fighting to get into Hoover at that point. And I think it's just, that's the difference, is do you want to be the team that fights and, you know, does more, or do you want to be the team that lays down and lets your circumstances dictate who you're going to be?
Let's look ahead for Mississippi State, because they are going to hire a new coach. You had to go through that as well. And Coach Lemonis comes in, you know, your last year at Mississippi State. What is a coach's first meeting like with a new team? What do you remember from Lemonis and his first message to the team? And, you know, what is that moment like where you meet this guy who's going to be your coach for the next season?
Yeah, it's a little scary, especially as a player, because when a new coach comes in, they don't know who you are, right? As a person, they might know you vaguely as a player, but they really don't know. And so you kind of feel like you've lost a little ground of what you've been working for. So I think that first meeting, I think what Lemonis did such a good job was he really brought in that security, right? He's, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to stand for. We are going to be this Mississippi State program, right? Like, we are going to build it into what we want. So, you know, we need to be here working together. So I think it's that security aspect of, you know, understanding who you are, what you expect, expectations from me, so we're not flying in blind. And I think that's just such an important piece to make sure that that team and that locker room doesn't unravel in that process. And I think the same thing with the interim coach is doing it now. That was the main thing Gary said was, hey, look, you know, we all know who we are. We all know what we can do. We're going to keep working, right? The work doesn't stop. It's not like we're going to halt everything completely over change and all that kind of stuff. We're going to keep marching on. And, you know, with new coaches, they have their own way of marching on. But the process and how it works stays the same. We're ultimately all working towards the same goal, no matter what program you come from, no matter what program you're stepping into. The goal is a national championship, right? And so I think as long as you come in and you set that this is, we're still marching towards that, but this is how we're going to march, I think everyone can basically figure out how they fit into that role and what's best for the program.
All right, last question. Do you still own the bandana?
So I actually gave the bandana to Andrew McCall when he was going through the cancer, but I have a older version of one. It's still hanging up in the house I lived in college. So it smells like beer from getting dumped on and everything like that. So we took the 16 victory lap and we did that. It got really gross. And, you know, I never washed it. That was the good luck part.
Yeah.
Call it gross, call it superstitious or both, but it was
there. Do you think your wife would ever let you grow the hair back out?
You know, she actually got caught a lot of flack for making me cut it in the first place. But the real reason was, as I was hitting, I think, a buck 20 at the time, and, you know, you can't really have a mullet and be hitting 120. So I had to mix up some mojo in some way, but she caught a lot of flack for it. She's, bless her heart, she's a little too open on what she allows me to do with my style, and we all know that can't be good. So she puts up with a lot more than she probably should.
I bet she does. Cole Gordon, appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on with me.
Thank you.
I know you haven't listened to it, Robbie, but he no longer has the bandana, but he has another bandana.
The American flag bandana? Yeah.
Doesn't have the original one anymore.
I miss that greasy mullet of his that he had his freshman year.
He's not allowed to have that anymore.
He was a much better player later on in his career, but it just wasn't the same.
He was the reverse Samson.
Imagine
strength when he cut his hair.
Imagine when he came in that game, I think it was at Vanderbilt in 2018, to help Mississippi State get to the College World Series. And he had that mullet.
Oh my God.
On the mound.
Yeah.
We saw it against, I think it was Ole Miss.
Yeah.
In 17.
Mm-hmm.
He might have had it.
By 18, it was gone. Yeah.
Yeah. I miss it. Cole's a great guy.
You know what? His walkout should have been. I believe his walkout was the Immigrant Song. I believe that's right. But you know what it should have been?
Correct. I can't remember.
With the mullet, you know what it should have been? Should have been your favorite, American made. It should have been. Imagine,
WCW.
like they take the pitcher off the mound, and like I was in here, and you would have been marking out in the press box, man. He's American made. You would have lost it.
And then after that,
Yeah.
we could get somebody to come out to Steiner line and
A man called
man
Sting.
called
All the
Sting.
good stuff.
I remember we were in the old Dude Noble Field press box and I started running through the old WCW themes
Yeah.
and Brandon Walker's ears just perked. He's like, "Are you singing WCW themes?" And it was. He was.
What do
He
you think
was.
about
He was.
our
That was the
buddy?
most impressed Brandon's ever been of me.
Do you think about our old buddy T Bob Hebert going to Barstool?
I think it's a perfect fit.
Fits like a glove, doesn't he?
I think it's a perfect fit. I think he
I'm
will.
interested to see what they're doing with that. Like, I think Brandon and T Bob would be a powerhouse college football show.
That would be a great show.
Like,
Guy
I
from
wasn't against,
rural
I liked Casey
Mississippi.
Smith in that group, but T Bob and Brandon is like that's the same. That's a more rowdy version of what like Andy Staples and Ari Wasserman are doing.
Yes, it would be absolute fire. And
Yeah.
maybe I think they're already kind of
Yeah.
back and forth at each other. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll
But
see how it
I
goes.
think that T Bob is a perfect fit there.
Yeah.
He is another like Pat McAfee type, I think.
Can you imagine, by the way, if let's say you got a job with Barstool or something, right? Can you imagine the governor of the state tweeting, "We're gonna miss you. Good luck." That happened. The
Not
governor
to
of the state of
me.
Louisiana tweeted at T-Bob and was like, "You're a Louisiana original. We're gonna miss you."
I don't think I'll ever get T Bob was a little more positive than
Little
that.
more. I get it. I get it. But still.
But
All right.
the other day, my wife was like, she saw the Pat McAfee stuff. She was like,
Yeah.
"Yeah, you like, why don't you like try to do something like that? Like, what be on Monday Night Raw?"
Yeah.
Like, well,
Just try to do it, Robbie.
he was
Why don't
like,
you just try?
she was like, "Well, he worked his way up or whatever. Like, you could probably do so." I was like, "No, I couldn't because I'm not edgy enough to do that, and I'm not good enough to do that in the first place." But you have to have a certain edge to
Why
you,
not?
and my mom listens to stuff. I couldn't do that.
I got a plan. I got an idea. When next time you're in the studio, I'm gonna chop you the way Gunther chopped him, and it will take off from there.
It's kind of like when you go to police academy, you have to get like pepper sprayed and
Yeah,
stuff. Like
yeah,
for me to
yeah.
go to WWE, I have to get slapped in the chest
I'm gonna Big
with a
Show. I'm just
meat
gonna
pan.
straight down on you. All right.
It's kind of like those. It's kind of like those things that you tell me all the time. Like, "Hey, I'll give you $10 if you do this," and it's like incriminating. Like, "Oh, the $10 is gonna bail me out of jail. Thanks a lot." What
I'll
big
give you
money
ten
over here?
bucks if you tweet that person and tell them that they should die.
One day you were like, "If you just like, I'll give you $20 if you just go punch that person in the face." Like, "Oh, that's gonna be great. I got your $20, but somebody else came after me and tried to kill me."
I had a friend. We all had a friend in college or whatever, or in high school that would do anything for money. I was kind of hoping you could be that guy. I know a guy, God rest his soul, for $20, he ate the contents of an ashtray.
What?
Yeah.
I've done stuff like that before.
Back in the like late 90s, $20 went a lot further. I got to say that.
Was it Tommy Dreamer?
No. I don't know the innovator of violence personally. No.
I used to do that stuff for attention.
Well,
Remember the story I told the other day where I slid on the concrete?
yeah.
That I did that just for everybody to laugh at me.
All you had to do was open your mouth. We would have just laughed. Period.
I was searching for love in all the wrong places.
It happens. All right, we'll be back on Sunday to wrap everything up. And I'll talk to you guys then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.